Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Ruth Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to discuss an incident that took place, which is one out of many incidents that take place, where Jews who fight for their enemies and fight for evil causes end up being attacked and even killed by those enemies that they have so zealously defended. And this particular incident is a Jewish, an Israeli Jewish woman, someone who was born in Israel, came to the United States, left Israel, came to the United States to pursue a career in the United States. And this Israeli Jewish woman wrote articles fighting for black anti-Semites and fighting for the enemies of the Jewish people, claiming that there is systematic racism, there's institutionalized racism against blacks in the criminal justice system, which of course, as we've mentioned and proven on this program many times, the opposite is true. America is a racist nation. America is a nation with institutionalized racism against whites, against Jews, and against Asians. Whites, Jews, and Asians are three groups that are victimized by systematic racism in this country, where blacks and Arabs and Muslims and third world people are promoted despite being less qualified, less educated, with lower test scores, less experience, less in every area. And yet they are promoted and put ahead of the whites, the Jews, and the Asians, who are punished for getting an education, for having good families, for being disciplined, for working hard. They're punished for doing the right thing. The Jews, the whites, and the Asians are punished for doing the right thing, whereas blacks, Arabs, Muslims, and all these other groups are rewarded for being lazy, jealous, ignorant, evil, cruel, vicious people who blame everybody else for their own failures, and who blame racism for their own failures, when in fact, again, American society is racist in their favor. And that's been true since the 1960s for over 50 years, ever since Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was president of the United States, signed the first affirmative action law, the first affirmative action executive order, in 1965. Ever since then, it has been official government policy to discriminate in favor of blacks and against whites, and especially Jews and Asians, because Jews and Asians are more successful in colleges and with education, and they are especially victimized by discrimination. The group discriminated against the worst by far are the Jews, because the Jews were 1% of America's population, and yet they were 70 or 80% of the students in Ivy League universities like Yale and Harvard. Yale, Harvard, Princeton was 70-80% Jewish. 70 or 80% of the students were Jewish when you didn't have quotas, when you had a fair system of meritocracy, where people were permitted to advance based on test scores, based on their actual performance and their actual qualifications and talent. 70 to 80% of the students in these universities were Jewish. Even only 1% of the youth that age, in other words, the age bracket, only 1% of America's youth at that time was Jewish. I mean, it's just astonishing how the Jews are so clearly Am Nivchar, God's chosen people. So clear and obvious. But anyway, and this is thousands of years after God says in the Bible they're going to be the chosen people. In every generation you see the Jews so vastly outperforming their numbers more than any other group by far in every generation, over and over again for thousands of years. And still people don't believe that the Bible is the true word of God. When God says that he's going to make them the chosen people, and God says that that covenant is an eternal covenant, he says in the Bible. He refers to it as an eternal covenant repeatedly. It will never be broken. And we see the return of the Jews miraculously to the land of Israel. After 2,000 years of exile, we see that God in modern times is keeping that covenant going more than ever. And still people refuse to accept, and they're going to pay quite a price for refusing to accept. They're going to be punished very severely. But anyway, this is a Jewish woman. Her name was Anat Kimchi. Shem Reshaim Yerkav, may the name of the wicked rot, which is a curse. 31-year-old Israeli-born doctoral candidate. She was going to school. She left Israel, abandoned Israel, like many Israelis in the United States do. Most Israelis don't, of course. We have 6.5 million Jews living in Israel, and about 500,000 Israeli Jews live here. So obviously the vast majority of Israeli Jews do stay in Israel, Baruch Hashem, thank God. But anyway, this beast, she decided to leave Israel, come to the United States and pursue a career here. She was 31 years old. And she wrote, in very advanced English, she wrote all these, she wrote all of these articles showing, supposedly proving, how blacks are victimized by this systematic racism. You know, it's interesting. People always say, but look at all the number of blacks that are arrested and the number of blacks that are in the prison system. And if you commit the crime, you're going to get arrested and you go to the prison system. I mean, there aren't many Jewish murderers in prison because there aren't many Jewish murderers. And there aren't many white murderers in prison because percentage-wise, in terms of proportion and population, the number of white murderers is very small compared to the number of black murderers, which is very high. And most of the people black murderers murder are their fellow blacks, which shows they have no morals, no decency, nothing. They'll kill their own brothers and sisters. Most of the time, they're committing crimes against their own brothers and sisters. And if this is what they do to each other, you can imagine what they would do to us if they ever had the chance, if they ever became a majority, which third world people are on their way to becoming a majority in the United States. That's going to happen soon. They're already over 40% of the population. Non-white third world people are over 40% of the U.S. population. When they become the majority, all of America will be like California. All of America will be like New York. Oh, are you in for the shock of your lives? Now, this Jewish woman, she came, she was writing all of these articles. She was fighting so hard. She wanted so hard to prove that blacks are victimized by racism. Blacks are victimized. By the way, what are the police supposed to do? Not arrest violent, dangerous, murderous, raping, low-life, evil, ignorant, low-IQ blacks who have an IQ on the level of mentally retarded whites. By the way, blacks, many blacks have an IQ that is similar to the level of borderline mentally retarded whites. Many blacks. And in black African countries, the average IQ is similar to the IQ of borderline mentally retarded whites in Western countries. So what are you supposed to do in a situation like that? The police are supposed to sit back and allow the blacks to terrorize everybody, which is what's happening in certain cities, and you see the consequences. By the way, look at the West Coast. Look at what's happening to California. Look what God is doing to Washington, Oregon. The temperature there is 120 degrees, 130 degrees. The temperature there was always very mild and nice. The weather there was always beautiful weather all year round, except it rains a lot in Washington State, Oregon. It rains a lot in Northwest U.S., in the Northwest U.S. But temperature-wise, the weather is mild all year round. It's pretty mild. It's very nice weather. And God is literally burning them alive. I mean, the temperatures there for a while now have been over 120 degrees Fahrenheit, over 120 degree temperatures. These are breaking all records day after day. In California, unbelievable heat wave and an unbelievable drought. That's destroying California's agricultural advantage. California had huge agricultural exports to all over the United States and all over the world. Do you know how much God blessed the United States? Because God not only blessed the Jews and gave them a beautiful land, the land of Israel, God wanted to give beautiful lands also to the Gentiles if they would be righteous. The United States, I'll just give you an example. You have something called topsoil in agriculture. In other words, it's good soil for planting, for crops. If you have topsoil that's 3 or 4 inches of good topsoil, that's considered to be excellent land, fertile land. 3 or 4 inches is considered to be. The United States, in places like Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, you had topsoil that was 6 or 7 feet deep. 3 or 4 inches is considered to be good for planting crops. These places had topsoil. These places have topsoil that's 6 feet deep in some places. The United States could easily be the breadbasket for the whole world. But anyway, instead, the United States has chosen to go down an evil path, and the United States is being destroyed. This is self-destruction, of course, but the United States is being destroyed. And it would have been so simple. What would America have to do? What should they have done in order to be blessed by God? And really, everybody says, God bless America, they say. And the song, God Bless America, written by a Jew, a self-hating Jew, Irving Berlin. But what would America have to do to be blessed? It would have been very simple. Follow the 7 commandments, the 7 mitzvot of Bnei Noach, that were given to Noah. 7 simple commandments. And support Israel and bless the Jews and support the Jews and bless Israel and not pressure Israel to commit suicide, but just stay out, not intervene on behalf of Israel. No, by no means, no. Not give them so-called foreign aid. Just stay out of it and support the Jews from the side. Support the Jews and support Israel. You know what would have happened to the United States if the United States had done that? You know what? How God would have blessed this country and protected this country? Instead, the United States did everything to destroy Israel. Presidents pressured Israel. They want Israel to give up land. They refuse to recognize even Israel's capital of Jerusalem. Even their capital they won't recognize. The only country in the world where the United States and every other country in the world will not recognize the capital of the country. And yes, Donald Trump did not recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital because in his so-called peace plan, there is a freeze on Jewish building in eastern Jerusalem. And in eastern Jerusalem, they want to give part of that, part of Jerusalem, over to create a capital for a so-called Palestinian state. That was the Trump suicidal peace plan, which was suicide for Israel. So Trump was full of crap. Okay, he didn't recognize Israel's capital. Big deal that he said, okay, Israel can have a part of it and the other ones can have it. That's the end of Israel. Israel can't defend herself in a situation like that when she's surrounded by enemies who outnumber her 100 to 1. There are 500 million Arab Muslims and Iranian Muslims surrounding little Israel. She's gonna go back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide? What are you kidding me? The Trump so-called peace plan was national suicide. So all the presidents have been bad for Israel. All of them. None of them have believed in what God commanded the nations. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and what he clearly has done throughout history. And so the United States is getting done to her. What's getting done to the United States is what she tried to do to Israel all these years. Same thing. Overrun by third world cucarachas and other third world immigrants flooding into the border. And flooding through the, not just through the border, through the airports, through every way you can possibly get into the United States. I mean, it's just, plus the overwhelming majority of babies, of new babies in the United States now are non-white. I mean, it's so clear what the future holds. The white population of the United States, like the white population in Europe, is declining every year, whereas the other populations, the other groups, are all climbing, are all going up. What do you think that means? When I was a little kid, the United States was 85% white Anglo. White Anglo means non-Hispanic whites, because you have some Hispanics that are white. or that look white. But 85% of the United States population, when I was growing up, 85% of the United States population was white Anglo. Now, it's less than 60%. Over 40% now are non-white, and it's growing every year. So, this woman, this Jewish woman, you know, and the Jews, they have the most just cause ever in history. Never has there been so much injustice, so much hatred, so much envy, so much cruelty directed against a people as what has been directed for thousands of years against the Jewish people. The things that were done to Jews, the torture of men, women, and children, the Holocaust was just the climax of 2,000 years of this, for thousands of years. Horrible, unbelievable crimes committed against the Jewish people. For thousands of years, no people has ever suffered as much as the Jewish people, and no people has ever been the victim of so much injustice, so many lies, so many smears, so many libels, so much hatred as the Jewish people. No people has ever been victimized by so much evil and cruelty. And so anyone who has any Jew and any righteous Gentile who has an ounce of morality, if they're going to write article, they should be on behalf of the Jewish people and on behalf of Israel. They should be pushing. And instead, she's an Israeli Jew who leaves Israel, comes to America, goes to Maryland, the University of Maryland, okay, stays in the University of Maryland to write and writes articles about how terrible America is toward blacks, how the system is so terrible and how we have to be nicer to the black criminals and the black beasts that are running around terrorizing the whole country. And guess what happened to her? She went visiting in Chicago. She was living in Maryland. She went to Chicago on a trip. And one of the blacks that she defends, one of the black criminals, whom she says is a victim of racism, whom she is so zealously defending, stabbed her to death with cruelty, stabbed her and cut her apart with cruelty. His name is Tony Robinson. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. He stabbed this Israeli Jewish woman to death. And the reason I curse him, even though the Israeli Jewish woman, really, she got what she deserved. She was evil. Because she was setting up other Jews to be victims of black beasts like this. So she got what she deserved. Good that it should be her, and not some innocent Jew, not some good Jew. But anyway, the reason I still curse the black murderer who did it is because he murdered her. He didn't care. He just murdered her because he's just a beast. He would have murdered anybody. He would have murdered a decent, nice person just as quickly. But this is an example of Hashem doing what we call midah keneged midah in Hebrew. Midah keneged midah means measure for measure, where we have perfect justice. This is really perfect justice playing out, which usually you don't have in this world. God does not give us perfect justice in this world, because if we had perfect justice in this world, there'd be no free will. If automatically the wicked were punished and the righteous were rewarded, the righteous automatically got a reward every time they did something good, and the wicked are automatically punished, everybody would be righteous. Not because they're genuinely righteous, but because they don't want to be punished. There'd be no free will. So you don't have, but usually you don't have midah keneged midah, you don't have measure for measure justice and righteousness and punishment in this world, because God wants us to continue to have free will. He wants us to draw the right conclusions, despite the fact that many times there are injustices and terrible things that happen in the world. He still wants us to be righteous and draw the right conclusions so that we can earn our way into the next world. In the next world, ba'olam haba, in the next world, there is perfect justice. And you know, this happened so many times during the Intifada, the Arab-Muslim-Nazi terrorist Intifada in Israel, when the Arab-Muslim-Nazis murdered thousands of Jews, about over 2,000 Jews were murdered in the two Intifadas that took place. And when they did this, so many times, dozens and dozens of examples of Israeli Jews who went out of their way to employ Arabs over their fellow Jews, but the fellow Jews they screwed, but they went out of their way to employ Arabs and be nice to Arabs. people who were so kind to the Arabs and Jews were so kind to the Arabs and nice to the Arabs, but their fellow Jews, they screwed, of course. Because don't forget the rule that we have in Judaism. The rule that Chazal gave us, that the rabbis gave us. He who is kind to the cruel will in the end be cruel to the kind. If you show mercy to the cruel, to people who themselves have no mercy, because people who have no mercy deserve no mercy themselves. People who don't respect human life should not be alive. People who have no mercy deserve no mercy. The only people who you should be very kind to and very merciful toward and very forgiving toward, even if they do wrong or make mistakes, are people who themselves are merciful, decent human beings. But if they're cruel beasts who run around with knives and stab women and cut women up just to rob them, or other beasts, or who justify it and tell them, "That's racist, you get them on, you get them on, the police is racist, defund the police." Okay? If you have beasts like that, then though, if you're going to be kind to them, in the end you're going to be cruel to their victims. And she's an example of that. Okay, Anat Kimchi, she was an example of that. She was kind to the black murderers, including the one that ended up murdering her. She was kind to them. And by doing so, she was cruel to their victims. She's cruel to the people who they victimize. And in the Arab terrorist intifada, we saw so many examples of this. They used to have joint patrols, the evil Israeli government, the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude that runs the Israeli government and that controls everything in Israel. They control the whole establishment in Israel. The Erev Rav rulers of Israel, including the Likud, by the way, there is no right wing in Israel. It doesn't exist. Rabbi Kahana was the right wing, that was it. Now even the phony people call themselves Kahanists, like Itamar Ben-Gavir, they're not right wing. Itamar Ben-Gavir is a Likudnik. He's a PP supporter, a supporter of PP Netanyahu. But in Israel, the Erev Rav that run Israel and that terrorize their own people, because they allow Arab terrorists to commit crimes against their own people all over the country, that Erev Rav ordered Israeli soldiers to have joint patrols with PLO terrorists, because they said the PLO terrorists have to protect us. They brought in PLO terrorists, that was the Oslo Accords, and the Y agreements. Y agreements, by the way, were Netanyahu's agreements. And they brought in Arab terrorists, and they said, the PLO terrorists, and they said, "You're going to have joint patrols now between, Jewish soldiers and Arab terrorists will have joint patrols." And they called the PLO terrorists PLO police. Police. They were terrorists. They were literally members of the Fatah terrorist organization that is sworn to exterminate the Jewish people. And the Jews were supposed to, the Jews went on joint patrols. They were like partners. They went on the Jew and the Jewish soldier and the Arab terrorists. They're like partners. The Arab terrorist so-called policemen. Do you know how many times, again and again and again, the Arab terrorist police, when the Jew wasn't looking, took out his gun and shot and murdered the Jewish soldier? Over and over again this was happening. And the same thing happens with American soldiers who go on joint patrols with Iraqi Muslim soldiers and with Afghan Muslim soldiers, because the United States Army is also run by evil people. And so the United States Army and the United States leaders, who are also evil and also traitors, they order American soldiers to go on joint patrols with Iraqi Muslim soldiers and with Afghan Muslim soldiers when they're in Afghanistan and Iraq. Do you have any idea? Hundreds of times, you've had these Muslim soldiers who were trained by the United States, armed by the United States, fed by the United States, on joint patrol with U.S. soldiers. When the U.S. soldier isn't looking, when they get a chance, they pull out their gun and start shooting the U.S. soldier and shooting everybody else in sight. This has happened over and over again, and they never learn. It never stops. And so, I actually want the evil people, the evil self-hating Jews and the evil self-hating people, they're the ones who should be cut down by these beasts, not good people. Not good people. We shouldn't cry, we shouldn't shed tears over the deaths of evil people like Anat like Anat Kimchi and others who support our enemies. They support our enemies. Let our enemies do to them what our enemies do. They deserve it. They deserve having a taste of what they're giving their fellow Jews and what they give decent people. It should only happen to them. And we mean that literally. Now, as you know, we have a video campaign in Israel to reach the Jews of Israel with a message of truth. But we just set up something else. I just set up a fund called the Malka Bat Meir and Allegra Bat Shlomo Fund. That's what it's called. In Hebrew, it's Keren Malka Bat Meir VeAllegra Bat Shlomo. Keren means fund in Hebrew. And we set it up. We set up this fund. And it's part of JTF. It's a DBA. In other words, we got an official DBA certification from the state of New York. So we have the state of New York giving us a certification that we can do this now. So people who give to JTF can also be giving to the fund, because it's all one group. And this fund, who are the people I'm mentioning in the fund? Who is Malka Bat Meir? Is my beautiful, beloved, kind, and wonderful mother, Zichrona Livracha Aleha Hashalom, who passed away 2 months ago. And you know how hard that hit me. You know that I'm still walking in a daze. I'm not myself. I am sad and upset about this always, all day long. All day long, she's on my mind. My beautiful mother. I'll never forget her. I love her so much. And my grandmother, the other one, the second woman mentioned here, Allegra Bat Shlomo, is my beautiful grandmother, who was just as beautiful as my mother. Another kind, unbelievably beautiful, righteous soul. And so I've set up a fund to elevate their souls. And we are going to contribute only to good Jewish causes, Bezrat Hashem, God willing. Only to good Jewish causes, specifically. And what do I mean by good Jewish causes? Specifically to the Jewish heroes in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria who are fighting to save the land of Israel and to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. Of course, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, that's a lie. But they want to create a fake, phony, evil terrorist state like this in the heartland of biblical Israel so they can destroy Israel. And it would be national suicide for Israel to accept this. And so we're doing everything we can to prevent this. And yes, we've set up a fund now because there are Jewish heroes. There are Jews now who are well-educated, intelligent, talented people who could be in Tel Aviv or Haifa or Yerushalayim or other cities in Israel in the high-tech industry or doing other, because they're well-educated, they're intelligent people, they could be making money, they could be living in a high-rise, they could be doing all types of things and enjoying the good life. They gave it all up. And they're living in hilltop outposts to prevent the Arabs from taking over strategic hilltops and strategic areas in Judea and Samaria, because otherwise the Arabs will take over everything, and that's the end. The Arabs are trying to take over everything. And these Jewish heroes, young Jews, these are young Jews, they're called the hilltop youth, Noar HaGevaot, the hilltop youth. These Jewish heroes who are doing this, they live, they have children, some of them are married with children, some of them are just yeshiva students, they're still single, but they're yeshiva students. They've given up everything, all the comforts of home and everything else, and they raise, you know, animals and do other things in order to make a living, and agriculture and other things sometimes. They do all types of things. But it's a real struggle because the Israeli government and the Israeli army is against them and supports the Arab enemy. Yes, supports the Arab enemy. The Israeli government wants to satisfy the demands of the world that there be a so-called Palestinian state and doesn't want the Jews building and creating new communities like Eviatar. They just had a sellout agreement with Eviatar where they're removing 52 Jewish families from there. I mean, they don't want Jews expanding and taking more land so that they could prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. They want to let the Arabs take over. And that's what they're doing. They have a building freeze in effect. It's in effect a building freeze. And they're allowing the Arabs to illegally build everywhere, all over Israel. This is what the Erev Rav rulers of Israel, the traitor Erev Rav rulers of Israel, are doing. And there are heroic, brave, sacrificing Jews who have a beautiful, who are young people with talent and ability and could easily go out and make a great living and be successful and be all the other things that every Jew wants to be, you know, that every Jewish boy wants to be and every Jewish girl wants to marry. You know, this is what they could be. And instead of saying, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a professor, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Instead of doing that, and these are people who are very intelligent who could be. Or I'm going to be a rabbi, I'm going to make a lot of money, I have a nice rich congregation. Instead of doing that, they're going out and living in these deserted places and getting arrested and getting beaten by soldiers and police just because they want to settle the land and prevent the Arabs from taking over. Because you have a cowardly, traitorous Israeli government that wants to surrender. And if we allow them to, God forbid what will happen to Israel. God forbid what will happen to Israel if we don't resist and we don't stop this. So we have a fund now, in honor of my beautiful mother's soul and in honor of my beautiful grandmother's soul, to support those Jewish heroes. You go out there, you have families and children, we want to make sure they have something to eat. And we want to make sure that you got money so that you can alert people when there are going to be expulsions. And we want to make sure that you have legal help if you are unjustly arrested for trying to settle in your own country, in your own land. And we want to make sure that your rights are respected by police and by soldiers who don't respect the rights of Jews, but who support the Arab Nazi enemies of the Jewish people. We want to make sure that you have backup from somebody at least. And so we set up a fund, and we're going to help the good Jewish heroes, God willing. God should give us the ability to do this successfully. We're going to help, God willing, the good Jewish heroes there, so that they will have a chance of redeeming the land of Israel. It's always an uphill struggle, but we're going to do it because that's what we stand for. Somebody has to do it, and in many areas, if JTF doesn't step in, there's no one else there to step in. And so we've got to do what we've got to do. And so this is something that everybody's invited to be involved with. You're all invited to be involved with this. By the way, people who give to JTF, you're in effect, you can also in effect, you can say that you want the money directed toward the fund. Because the fund, it's a DBA, it's doing business as, in other words, JTF and the fund are now the names of the same organization, the same incorporated organization, because we have what we call a DBA certificate, which means, in other words, the state of New York now recognizes that the fund now is part of JTF as well and part of the name of JTF. So you can support this if you wish. And there are many ways to support it. Of course, we need financial support, and of course, we need you to publicize our videos, and of course, we need people to go out and persuade people that this is the right thing to do. That's what we want to do. That's what Jews and righteous Gentiles are in this world to do, to save the land. There's no cause more sacred than saving the land of Israel and the Jewish people from national suicide. There's nothing more important in our generation. There is no cause more important than that. And JTF is stepping in to do whatever we can do. I don't know how much we can do because we don't have millions of dollars. Millions we don't have. But with what we do have, we're going to do everything we can, God willing. So, that's where we stand now. And we always remember that in the end, the good guys are going to win. That's what the Nevi'im, that's what the prophets promise us. That's what Hashem has promised us. Someday there will be final redemption. But until then, we've got to fight the good fight and stand up for justice and righteousness and truth. If we fight together as a team, we can make this a better world, and we can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.